Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Your city awaits. We got a lot of work to do around here. We got a lot of need in this place. And we're going to launch some new programs this summer and do some things that are going to reach out to our city. More than, you know, it's not even about inviting people to church. It's just about saving those who need some help, right? Single moms and widows and, you know, people who are moving. Tammy was just here. She's moving pretty soon. She needs some help. She's working on her house, needs some help. Just stuff like that. Single mom, right? Widows, orphans. That matter to Jesus. It matters to us. And, you know, South Jordan's a pretty affluent city, but still there's need here. Okay? Amen? So on that note, we're in the middle of a series called In This House, right? We've all seen these things in people's houses where, you know, this is what we believe. Well, we're talking in this series about what is the culture of this church. What happens here? Why do we even go here? Why do you even go anywhere? What's the purpose of church? You know, it's like, oh, the gathering of the saints and all that stuff. That's all great, but why? Why? What happens here that makes this any different than anywhere else? The Acts church, if we looked into the book of Acts, was busy, man. They didn't sit down. They didn't stop. They didn't have a building to meet in. They didn't have a street corners or anything. They just gathered wherever they were. They said, let's pray here. Let's praise here. Let's worship here, let's do whatever here, and that's what the way they handled things. Well, in this house, you can read this sign or on the monitors or that banner back there, you can see what we believe here. In this house, we do grace, right? We talked about that last week. In this house, we do grace. And I'm not even talking about God's grace towards each one of us as individuals. That's important, yes, but I'm talking about having grace for that guy at work drives you nuts. You want to sock in the head repeatedly, multiple times. Just saying, maybe it's just me, right? You know, for your neighbors who get up at 4:30 in the morning and you know, practice their marching band maneuvers, you know, those times. That's having grace for people, because people, a lot of times, they just don't know, you know, and we're supposed to be a light in the darkness. We're supposed to be a light on a hill carrying a message that changes people's lives. It isn't us. It isn't the pastor. It isn't, you know, the evangelist or preacher, teacher, whatever, prophet. It's Jesus and the Spirit of God. So in this series, we're talking about the culture of the Bridge Church. We're talking about what's important in this house. In this house, we do family. We're going to talk about family today. If you brought a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. That's where we dropped off last week in talking about grace. And we're just going to continue through. Some of these we're going to put together. I think next week we're going to talk about discovery and passion. Right? Everybody in this room has a specific gift created to participate in God's house, in His church, in His family. You have a specific gift that I don't have, that all the rest of us don't have. You bring a specific, you know, gifting given by the Spirit of God that none of the rest of us have. It's just the way it is. God has put together a specific group of people. Jesus put together the 12. I can't even tell you that those 12 guys never got along. Or that they got along, because they didn't. There was two zealots in there, and the zealots in those 12, they hated tax collectors and people who sided with the Romans but were Jewish, and they really, really, really liked to kill them. And that was it. And this is Jesus' 12. These are the disciples, the guys that changed the world. You can't tell me they all got along. So in a family like this one, you may not always agree with us. Well, with me, or, you know, our decisions. You may not agree with this, but you know what? You're part of the family. Me, I have older brothers. I'm the youngest in my family. We used to fight all the time. And my mom was a short little German woman, and she would get in the, I'm the smallest in my family, and my mom would get between us and break up the fight. And if she got out of control, she would go get this equalizer called the pitta, which basically was a broom handle with leather straps on it, and she would just start swinging. And I tell you what, the whole house would clear out. Didn't matter. But my point is, we never, you know, we're not just going to magically get along. Okay? That's not way family works. I don't know how your family works. Maybe you're just magical, you know, live in Disney World or something. Our family isn't like that. So in a family, we cannot expect to all get along. Another thing about a family is every one of us were created to belong to something. Right? We are created to belong. And we see if we grow up in a dysfunctional family, I grew up without a dad. If we grow up in a dysfunctional family, you take your want for belonging other places. Maybe a gang, maybe a group of friends. Maybe, we were in youth ministry for years, and teenage girls would do ridiculous things to gain acceptance from boys. And you just want to grab them and shake them and say, why are you doing that? But we are born with an inherent need to be accepted. We have to have it. And if we're not accepted in our family, then we'll go other places to get it. And as teenage boys, we have done some pretty stupid things to try to be accepted. I remember one of my older brothers. I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan when I was a teenager, and it would snow a lot there because it's hell, basically, and it's surrounded by the Great Lakes. So it would snow tons, and it wasn't like snow here. It was real fine, and the wind would blow, and it would drift. And it would drift around the corner of the house, and it would go up to the roof. I remember we were standing on the roof of our house one time. My brother says, watch this. I'm going to do a backflip off the roof and land in the snowbank. How many of you know he did a backflip off that roof and went right through the snowbank and landed on the ground that's been frozen for 2 months? Nearly shattered his back. After we stopped laughing hysterically at, laughing at him, it was a trip to the emergency room for him. But what's he trying to do? He's showing off, trying to be accepted. You know, it wasn't just our family there. It was a bunch of other people. We do crazy things to be accepted. Isn't it? I bet you if we went to the emergency room and did a poll of teenage boys, every one of them is in there and prefaced their trip to the emergency room by saying, hey, guys, watch this. Right? And then smash. Broken bones, fall out of trees, catching footballs, running into cars, watch this, right? We do stupid things to be accepted. If you think about your life, it was like, yeah, well, when I was younger, you know, I went to a party and I wanted to feel accepted. So, there was alcohol there. So I was beer tasted terrible, tasted like soap when I was like 12 years old, but I wanted to be accepted. So I was partaking in illegal activities. This is how people get caught on, hooked up on drugs and everything else. You start smoking weed. Why? Because you don't want to be the oddball. You don't want to be rejected. In Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 7. We read this last week, but I believe it's critical because then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. They have sinned. Adam and Eve have sinned. Adam and the woman have sinned. Okay? Look what happens. They did not, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. According to most scholars, that sounds like a wind. Okay? Walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, notice that the wife doesn't have a name yet, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Okay, watch this. Watch this. Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid, right? Because I was naked and I hid myself. Why in the world was he afraid? He had heaven on earth in the garden. Perfect situation. Perfect life in the garden until sin came. I want you to notice something. When sin comes into your life, fear is right behind it. And why was he so afraid? He wasn't afraid of God. He was afraid of rejection. He was like, I messed up. Now here comes God, I'm in trouble. He was completely and utterly afraid that he didn't belong. He no longer belonged to God because he had sinned and excluded himself. How many times in our lives as believers do we sin, do something, mistake, whatever, no condemnation, I'm just saying, we do these things. We're going to find out in a minute why. We do these things, and all of a sudden, we feel like God is, I no longer belong to the family because I've sinned. Right? Anybody ever belong to your family and you feel like you no longer belong because maybe you said something about somebody or did something or sinned in some way? It's hard. We feel like we no longer belong. As soon as sin came into their life, they had a problem. It was called rejection. And it was called no longer belonging to God. It was a big problem. Big problem. Changed everything. We talked about it last week. Put a guard at the gate. Kicked them out of the garden. They couldn't get around the tree anymore. Because if they ate off that tree in their dead state, they would be stuck like that. And God didn't want that for them. So sin was the problem. Adam was afraid because he didn't belong. Something happened to their relationship with God and with each other. They had a big problem. So this part, this message today, in this house, we do family. It's kind of a good news, bad news situation. Right? You've heard that before. You want the good news or the bad news? Well, I'm going to start with the bad news. Okay? The bad news is when we're born into this world, we are born rejected automatically. Just because of Adam's sin in the garden. Just because of what he did. We are automatically outside the family of God. That's just the way it is because Adam has sinned. And it's clear in Scripture. It says in Isaiah 59 verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God." You are born separated. Okay? Romans chapter 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned." Pay attention. I don't know if you've ever read this verse, like read it. And let it hit your heart, because it says, "For all have sinned," past tense, everybody has sinned, right? "And fall short," present tense, "of the glory of God." And proper grammar would be "all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." But in the present tense, it says "fall short." We fall short, and everybody has sinned. You have been excluded because of your sin, Adam's sin. We are out of the family of God. Okay? Everybody got that? That's kind of important to know. When you're born into this world, you are outside the family. Pretty simple process. Now, in Greek language, there's a couple of different tenses for the New Testament root base of words in Greek are either based in a sports type rooting or a military type rooting. And this is important because in this example, "have sinned and fallen short," or "have sinned" is a sports root. Now, a military root, let me give you a couple examples, okay? We've all heard the verse, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." You've heard that, right? Okay, that word "rule" is kind of a sports root, which means that kind of an umpire or a referee telling you where the lines are, telling you when you're outside the lines or inside the lines. "Let the peace of God rule," like an umpire rules a game, "in your heart." Keep it safe, keep it secure, keep it, whether you're safe or out. Now, another example in the military rooting would be, "Let the peace of God guard your heart." Okay, let the peace of God, catch this for a second, because if you just think about this, if your heart, if you're in the family of God, having the peace of God guard your heart, that's a military rooting, which means having a garrison of soldiers around your heart to protect it from the evil one. That kind of changes things a little bit when you think about your heart. Having military soldiers guarding your heart, that's pretty cool when you think about it. Be like, yeah, well, you know, I still have to be careful. But when we're talking about "have sinned" is a sporting route, and it is talking about archery, right? When I was newly saved, I wasn't even on the field anywhere, right? I wasn't even shooting the arrow at the target. That's how far outside the family I was. But that meaning, having sinned, the Greek word hamartaneo, is the word "missing the mark." We've all heard that about sin, right? All of us have sinned and missed the mark. What's the mark? Being in the family of God. Are you with me? It's pretty simple to know, yes, we have sinned, we have missed the mark, we are outside the family. That's the bad news. You want some even worse news? Because it gets worse. Sorry. You know, first day of summer, and here we are talking about just how bad everything is. So it's ugly. But here's the worst news. You have to be perfect to be accepted into the family. Right? It says in Leviticus, right out of the law, it says, whoever offers a sacrifice, a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, right? This is the law, or a freewill offering of, from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. Now we're traversing dispensations here, but stay with me because it's important. It says it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect. God expects a perfect offering. On the Day of Atonement, the goats and lambs that they brought for the sacrifice had to be perfect. Spotless, sinless, the lambs, the people who took care of these lambs for the offering were like vicious about taking, they would keep them in the house, they would feed them special feed, and they would take care of them, they would brush them out. They had to be absolutely spotless. Now, if we read in Malachi in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were released from bondage, the book of Malachi, the prophet is telling Israel, they have been bringing one-eyed goats and damaged sacrifices for the offering, and God isn't accepting them. And that's why they are going back into trouble, because they are giving not a perfect sacrifice. But if we see it, he says, it must be perfect to be accepted. Here's the biggest hope of the day. Get ready. This is very exciting. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, the Christ, was called the perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice for sin? Jesus being our sacrifice for sin opens the door so we can go from being outside the family to being inside the family just by accepting him. That's the hope for today. And it's not about works. It's not about earning your way in. It's not about who you know to get. Oh, I know the pastor. Oh, I know this. Or I know that guy. And I know this. It doesn't matter. It's about position of being perfect. Because of what Jesus did, you can be made perfect. It's that simple. Get Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Check this out. The book of Hebrews, right? Written to Hebrew Christians in Jerusalem. For by one offering, that's it. You don't have to continually offer. Jesus did it once. He has perfected, say the word perfected forever those who are being sanctified. What does sanctified mean? You're growing in God every day. Nobody's arrived. Nobody's perfect. We're all working on something. And that's okay. Because we have grace in this house and we have grace for our family. Right? We all are being perfected forever, those who are being sanctified. We are growing. You should be growing. I would hope in this ministry you are growing, right? It's important. In Hebrews chapter 12, a couple chapters later, I believe Paul's the writer of Hebrews, but you can do whatever you want. I believe he's talking to the church here, because anytime he says Mount Zion, he's talking about the church of today. Otherwise, he would be talking about Mount Sinai, the Old Testament, okay? He says, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Isn't that amazing? Listen, to just take that picture in for a minute of the family of God that we get to participate in. He says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. If that doesn't encourage you, check your pulse right now. Just go ahead, right? Okay? Because that you are registered in heaven. And then he says, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Here's the problem. We can't think of ourselves that way because we are stuck thinking backwards. We're stuck. We're a mess. Well, you won't believe, Pastor, what my past did. You won't believe what I did and who I hurt and, you know, this and that. We want to be stuck here living backwards instead of here moving forwards, knowing you're made perfect and you are just. Justified, never sinned. Same thing. You are made. You have to catch this in your mind. Romans 12 says, renew your mind. This is what he's talking about. You have to renew your mind to being just, to being perfect, and to be moving forward, not looking back. We say it all the time around here. Your past will never define your future. Your past will never define your future. Even though we are messed up individuals, making mistakes every day, yelling at our children, cussing out the boss, flipping people off, driving to work, right? Anybody else? No, I don't do those things, of course. But here's the thing. We are messed up people saved by grace. Saved by grace. We have to understand that. Get that in your heart. Matthew 5 and 48 says, Jesus' words. Now remember, dispensation, before he died and went to the cross, okay? He said, therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus has made you perfect. Now, husbands and wives, look at your spouse and say, I told you I was perfect. I told you I was perfect. Most of the comments I hear from people who can't come to church, or they don't want to be involved with God, or they don't, you know, their comments are this: I can't be good enough for God to accept me. I'm like, this is the biggest lie the enemy could ever tell you, that you aren't good enough to be accepted into the family. It's like, that is amazing. That's calling Jesus a liar. And because of the work he did, doesn't matter. What you're doing is putting it on your shoulders, thinking you're going to save yourself. But Jesus made it perfect, made you perfect. Here's the problem. Insecurity, self-esteem, self-confidence, rejection, all those things hit your heart, your whole life. And you live in those things. And you think because somebody has said that to you, that is the banner that you wear. You know, rejection, insecurity. Notice where the focus on all four of those things is. It's on you. It's on me. It's on, oh, I'm not good enough. Jesus made you perfect. That's the good news. Here's the good news, even better news than that. When we were born again, we were accepted into the family with no questions asked. They didn't pull your credit. They didn't look at how you pay your bills. They didn't run your checking account. You didn't have to do any of those things. You were accepted just the way you were. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You were accepted into this family. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been. Doesn't matter. You're accepted into the family. Now catch this one. In Mark chapter 9 verse 41, he says, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, Because you belong to Christ. You're in it. You're in the family. You know what I mean? You can't get out, right? You're just part of the group, right? I say to you, he will by no means lose his award. We belong to Christ, but we want to focus on the giving the water part and not the belonging to Christ part. Because right away when we sin, just like Adam, we think we're excluded. We're moved out. We're not allowed to be a part of the family anymore because we have crossed the line. We've created sin. But Jesus paid the price. We can't get caught up in doing the water. We have to get caught up in belonging regardless. As jacked up as my brothers and sisters are, and weirded out as my family is, and as dysfunctional as my family is, I'm still a part of it. You can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family, right? It's just, this is it. This is the people I belong to. This is my tribe, my people. Too bad. Doesn't matter. You're still a part of the family. And when you get into God's family, you're automatically in. Because pay attention. This is important. God never rejects you. He never forsakes you. It's free will choice. You can be in the family or out of the family. And there are a lot more benefits to being in the family than just coming around at Easter and Christmas. Let me tell you something. If you're a part of the Bridge Church family, if you want to be a part of this family, I encourage you, don't just be a tender. You know, I attend the Bridge Church. Just say, I am an owner of the Bridge Church. I go there. That's my house. That's my family. There's more benefits to just coming at Christmas and Easter than that. You can get involved at the coffee shop. You can get involved in serving. You can get involved in giving. We're in a great place right now in this ministry because we're growing. We're getting ready to move to a building. We're getting ready to expand this thing into more of the city and expand our reach. We'll hear more about what we're getting ready to do as we go through the list. But I encourage you, Psalm 68 and verse 6 says, God sets the solidarity in families. God operates in families. Now, why? How? This was amazing to me because I always had to ask somebody. I would say, how can God accept me? How can God accept what I've done and just say, oh, it's okay. Go on ahead with your bad self. How does that happen? How does that take place? Well, God accepts us. Remember, he doesn't reject anybody. It's not a God rejection. It's just because of the sin that Adam made, you are born into that thing. But when free will comes and you can accept being in the family, that changes everything. Because God has accepted us because he has rejected Jesus. Right? When Jesus went to the cross, he was rejected. Isaiah 53:3 says he is despised and rejected by men. Rejected by men. Mark 8:31 says, then he began to teach them, the Son of God must suffer many things and be rejected. Jesus took your place being rejected because of the sin that Adam made. We don't have to bring animals. We don't have to serve. We don't have to give. We don't have to anything to be accepted. It's automatic. It is an automatic thing. It's called substitutionary atonement. He took my place so I can live in this family. Jesus did that for you. He was rejected by men. He was rejected. It says in Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The New Testament parallel is Acts 4:11. This is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus took the rejection that was meant for us and took it on his back, on his shoulders, and hung on the cross for us. It's amazing. And then he was even not only rejected by the people of the day and the people of the time, he was rejected by God. He said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That word forsaken means to completely abandon. How do you think Jesus was going through this? Just smiling? And this is cool, this is fun? Completely abandoned. Him and his father, by his father. To leave totally and reject completely. This is what Jesus did for us, so we can be a part of the family. Religion put all kinds of rules on it. It was like, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, and this, that. Jesus said, because of what I've done, you can be free and live free. We're supposed to be free moving forward. I believe, this is just my opinion, I believe that Jesus knew what he had to do when he did it on the cross, but I don't think that he knew how it was going to feel. Because when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, beginning to take on that burden of sin, he sweat great drops of blood. Nobody does that unless there's severe mental anguish. I believe, my opinion, that was the beginning of the end of this process where he was going to take our rejection. And it's an amazing story. It's the Easter story. It's, you know, an amazing thing that Jesus knew, but he didn't feel it until he got to the garden and was arrested. And the whole process started. And he went through it. And just for us to be free, because we're part of the family. And understand this, God will never, ever reject you. You'll never, ever, ever be good enough for God, but God will never push you aside and say, you're not good enough for me. Because he says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Adam and Eve felt rejected because they sinned in the garden. In that dispensation, they were put out, and they had to do animal sacrifice to earn the favor of God. For me, in my life, I've dealt with rejection my whole life. It was just people saying, you're not good enough, you're not fast enough, you're not smart enough, you'll never make it, you're never going to get there. I went through 30 years before I got saved. I was saved when I was 30 years old. Hey, just like Jesus. Really? Thanks, Chase. Anyway, I went through 30 years of rejection. It was ingrained in my spirit, and it was pasted across my heart. And it was very hard to turn that around in my life, because people would tell me, well, Jesus took your place. You're no longer rejected. It's like, yeah, but it's across my heart. And it's hard to work through it. It takes a touch from heaven and a touch from God to realize that in this family, you are accepted. In this family, you are loved unconditionally. In this family, you've won. You've overcome already. All the benefits that go with sozo and being saved are all part of the deal. Part of the winning the battle. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Still a sinner, Christ did it anyway. Knowing you were going to be sitting in this room today or walking through this life dealing with rejection issues, knowing you have been accepted. You have been made perfect. You have been accepted. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus loved you before you were even here. Jesus loved you before, you know, even when you were in the darkest pit of your life going through whatever you've been through, rejection, Jesus has loved you then. Saying, come on, man, get in the family. When I was in high school, there was a lot of us in the high school because there was cousins and there was probably 8 of us in our high school. We were like a gang. We were like a mafia, right? You mess with one, you got everybody. And there was all of us were boys except for one. And it's like, you mess with us, you got the whole crew came after you. So then everybody left us alone. We're all athletes anyway. It was a small school, so everybody knew everybody. I believe in my heart that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to work. You mess with one, the enemy messes with one, you get the whole group. Everybody. Just praying, believing God, helping. You know, Tony and Benita have been working on their house. He said, called me up, said he needed help. Man, we had 10, 12 people showed up over there in his house, just painting and cleaning and drywall, whatever, hanging up. You know, we messed up a bunch of framing, but hey, we were helping, okay? That's the body of Christ in action. That's the family of God. But here's the problem. People want to do it themselves. I'm good. I'm okay. It's like your family's starving. Let us help you. We got all this food in a pantry and you're starving. Let us help you. Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I had a, when I was younger in ministry, at our previous ministry, I was the children's pastor. And we were struggling financially, but we were believing God every minute of every day. And God, I believe, okay, God speaks to his family to take care of each other. And we had a big expedition. It wasn't the one we have now. It was a different one. We had an expedition, and this expedition, we were running on the metal cords on the tires. It was like, and these are big tires, cost, you know, $120 a piece. And we needed help. We need help from the family. Need somebody to help us. We were asking. We were praying. We were believing God. And finally, you know, blessing came through. And we were allowed to, we praise God, got tires put on that car. And it wasn't a week later, one of the deacons in the church, deacon, supposed to be free and hear God all clearly, walks up to me in the parking lot. And he says, hey, you got new tires on your truck. That's great. I said, yeah, man, it costs almost $600. It's threatening to kill us. And he says, oh, God told me to put tires on your truck, but I just was disobedient. I was like, I am going to punch you in the head right now. I'm like, we needed help, and you were disobedient in it. Now, that was between him and God, of course, but I'm just like, this is how the family's supposed to work. If we need help, you reached out to your parents, to your family, to your brothers and sisters, and they come and help you. That's what church in this house we do, family. That's what it's all about. When you give your life to Christ, you join that family. And it's not conditional. It's just, we'll help anybody. But when you put your life in God's hands, he takes care of you, no matter what. Let's everybody stand up. In this house, we do family. You're loved in this place. You are missed in this place when you're not here. We need you in this place. Just like you go to family reunions, or you go home for holidays, or you go to Christmas. You're missed if you're not there, right? We've missed several Christmases with my family back in California, and it's like they miss us when we're not there. So here's what I want you to do. Bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to sing one more worship song before we go. And here's what I want you to do. If you have a prayer concern at all, whatsoever, anything, whether it's job, children, finances, you want to call some children home, you want your kids to act right, you want whatever, we have people in the back who want to pray with you, okay? It's not a big old ordeal. I'm not asking you to come up here. We're not going to make a big scene about it. It's all you got to do is say, hey, I need some help from the family. I want to pray. Put your hand up like this. Somebody will come and pray with you. They're going to come to you. You don't even have to leave your seat. It's that simple. But here's the king thing. If you want to join the family, if you want to join our family here at the Bridge Church, I want to encourage you. It's okay. You know, we're not going to ask the world. We're not going to make you feel bad. We're just, you know, come and learn and grow together. We're going to do Sunday Connect after church. It's just grow together. Let us know you. Let us help you. Let us just get to know your name. Don't try to do it alone. You weren't designed to do it alone. You are loved in this place. So let's pray. Then we'll sing a worship song. And if you have a prayer concern whatsoever, just lift your hand up so somebody can see it. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we can be a part of this family, that Jesus took those stripes, those infirmities, that beating and dying for us to take all of our rejection, all of our life, God, that we've messed up so bad. Take it all, Lord. Father, we're going to take from this point forward, and we're going to walk with you. We're going to walk with you from this point forward, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's worship this morning.